All right, let's go ahead and get started this morning. Make your way in. If you're somewhere in the building and hear my voice, please make your way in. Good morning. Thank you. Yeah, we want to get started right on time this morning, give our teachers plenty of time, and I think, nearly 100% certain that I will not even begin to get to all the material that I want to get to this morning, but we'll make a go at it, so I want to get started. So let's pray, and we'll let our classes be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you, God, that you're a God of grace and of mighty rescue and of mighty salvation. We thank you that when you take a man or a woman or a young man or a young woman, a child, out of Adam and put them in Christ, you make them a brand new creature. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that whose fruit in our life produces Christ's likeness. These are all things in which we rejoice this morning and are confident and glad in this morning. Use our time of teaching today in the various classes. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let our classes be dismissed. Good. So much to get to this morning. As I said, I'm almost positive that I'm going to come up short, and I'm just going to teach till our time runs out. And when the time runs out, we'll ask for God's blessing upon it, and God willing, we'll come back next week. Before I punch to the next slide, who remembers the disclaimer that I gave 2 weeks ago and the title that was given in Friday Features for our Touch Points lesson today? Anybody remember? Carol, do you remember? Yeah, it was on pornography, right? So we gave a disclaimer 2 weeks ago. And the disclaimer was, I have a real concern about someone, maybe a dad or a mom, saying, you've cracked open a lid of a can of worms that I would rather not have cracked open right now. And that's totally legitimate. That's why we gave that disclaimer, to say, look, stay home, let your child go to Sunday school, or actually what I said is I'd rather use these 2 weeks for you to crack that lid open for your kids, because we're definitely going to crack that lid open this morning and the next couple of weeks. We're going to crack, it's a lid that we'd rather not crack open, but we're going to crack that lid open. And I just want to say that when it comes to pornography, it's something that we need to blow the lid off of. And we need to blow the lid off of it in our lives if it's a place of impact in our lives. Obviously, in giving this lesson, I'm not going to be giving like graphic demonstration or graphic illustrations or anything like that. I will try to measure every phrase and every word. That's something I'm committed to trying to do. And yet, it's something that is rampant in the culture. I would like to think I'm speaking and preaching to the choir this morning, but the statistics prove otherwise. It's also something that's rampant in the church as well, not only in the church at large, but even in leadership in the church. So it is something that we need to expose, as we want to be sure that we're knowing and understanding and doing God's good and acceptable and perfect will in a sin-cursed, sin-confused, and certainly in this case, a sin-corrupted world. So yeah, we're going to step into that web of pornography which is any way you look at it, it's nothing more, nothing less, nothing ever. Let me say that again. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing ever than an entrapping and entangling web of lies. That's all it is. That's all it ever is. Now, I want to start this morning, though, in sort of an unusual way. I want to start this morning with two flourishing psalms. And you might say, why, as you speak about pornography, do you want to start with two flourishing psalms? Because one of the themes that will come out throughout this week and next week and maybe even a third week will be the theme of refreshing waters and polluted wells. That's why I want to begin this morning with these two very flourishing psalms. I'll throw the words up there in a minute, but what am I thinking about when I look at that picture and a flourishing psalm? Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking about Psalm 1. I'm going to get to that, Pastor Carroll, exactly right, that tells us from God's word, blessed is the man, happy is the man, flourishing is the man, woman, boy, or girl. Let me just say, by the way, that though historically pornography has been largely a male sin, we might say, Deepak Raju talks about the rising tide now, the rising tide of pornography in women, particularly because of the advent of the internet and smartphones. It's exploding. The tide is rising with women also engaged in and enslaved in pornography. So blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the young person. This is God's word. God says you are blessed. Is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the path of sinners, he does not sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. Person who is enslaved to pornography meditates in something else day and night, especially at night. This man, this woman, this boy, this young girl, this young person who does this will be like a tree, strong and firm, planted by rivers of waters that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows that one who meditates in his word day and night. He knows that one he's going to bless. But the way of the wicked will not perish. I just want to remind us that there's a place of soul flourishing, of soul fruitfulness, of life that comes to you and comes to me and comes to anyone who delights in the word of God, the power of the gospel. First three verses of Psalm 1, just using these as an intro this morning. The Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not need something that someone else says that I need, that Jesus Christ will not provide. I want to see the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ here. He's the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And here's where he's going to lead me. He's going to lead me beside still waters. Refreshing still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The story is told in the Middle East of two men watching an individual with a stick driving sheep forward. This is in the Middle East where it was a common thing to see sheep out being led. And the one man says to the other, that befuddles me. I have never seen a shepherd driving his sheep like that, so angrily pushing them and driving them. To which his friend replied, oh, no. No, that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher driving the sheep to the butcher shop. We read in Psalm 1 and Psalm 23 that we have a shepherd who will lead his sheep to living streams of flourishing, healthy, fresh water. I just want that theme to be kept in mind this morning. There were three questions I wanted to ask this morning. I wanted to ask, what is pornography? Where is pornography? And what do we do with pornography? I don't think we're even going to get through with what is pornography this morning, honestly. And you might say, when you see that question, what is pornography? Like, come on, pastor, do you really think in this day and age you have to ask that question? What is pornography? Yes, I really do. I think I need to ask that question. And I think I need to ask that question for several reasons on several levels that we'll get to in time. But I'm just going to say, on the face of it, there's quite a bit of confusion as to what exactly is pornography and where that's located and where we find it and that kind of thing. We want to sort of expose that. Well, for some, if they were to answer that question, what is pornography, some would say, believe it or not, well, it's a form of art. It's an expression of art that ought to be maybe perhaps guarded by, you know, the freedom of expression. Some would say, pornography, no, it's not exactly a form of art, but it is a form of adult entertainment. And again, just want to say that largely men, but as Deepak Raju would say, there's a rising tide of it being an issue with women as well. Some would say it's a form of adult entertainment. Some would even say, and some would even agree, that pornography consists of explicit sexual images. And that, of course, is very true. But it is far more than explicit sexual images. In fact, pornography sometimes, often, may not include any pictures or images at all. There may not even be anything particularly there to look at the moment. More on that later. In defining pornography, way back in 1964, Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart made this statement. It was 1964, a movie had come out, and in this movie, in that day in 1964, when I was 4 years old and so many of you weren't even born, there were some strongly suggestive, explicit images in that movie. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. Like, should this kind of stuff be on the movie screens in our country? I don't know what the movie was. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the scenes. Don't want to. I suspect it was probably fairly tame, actually, compared to what's on the screen in 2023. But it goes to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart is defining pornography, and he just says this about it. He says, I shall not today attempt further to define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced, and he's speaking of the obscenities of pornography when he says that. I shall not today attempt to further define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced. He said, but when it comes to pornography, he said, but I know it when I see it. When I see that, he says, I mean, I can define it in all the best terms, but when I see it, I know it. And we certainly should be able to say, when I see it, I know it. Here's the definition I came up with. It took me several miles to come up with this definition, not several minutes, several miles, after just reading and reading and reading and reading of so many materials in the last couple of weeks, walking out on our road, and this is the definition I kind of came up with. We're going to break it down. What is pornography? It's this. It's explicit, illicit, immoral, sexual propaganda that promotes and drives personal selfishness, that hurts and exploits others, and that dishonors and disobeys God. You're not going to find that definition out there in the world somewhere, but I just want to break that one down. If you look at it, the core of that definition is right there in the middle in red. That's the center, that's the core. And everything else is either pointing to that or moving out from that. All right? So sexual propaganda. Now, I wonder, when you hear that term this morning, it wouldn't surprise me if you go, Pastor Donnie, you're going kind of light there. That sounds a little too innocuous. Well, we're going to deal with that. We're going to not let it be innocuous. Sexual propaganda. It's explicit. It's illicit. It's immoral. All those things are true of the sexual propaganda. And then that sexual propaganda, there are three things that come out of that. It's sexual propaganda that promotes, first of all, and then drives personal selfishness. It's sexual propaganda that hurts and exploits others. And it's sexual propaganda, obviously, that dishonors and disobeys God. So I want to take some time to sort of break that down word for word, because this is so important. I want us to get this. I want the young men in our congregation, and I want the men of our congregation, I want the young women of our congregation to get, okay, wow, I'm really dealing something here that there's just no way under heaven that I can give myself to this and be someone that's pleasing and honoring to God, and my spouse and my future spouse, as the case might be. So we're just going to take those words one by one and think about this sexual propaganda that pornography is. So first of all, the word explicit. Now you help me out here a little bit. What do we mean when we say explicit? Open. Obvious. Good, Greg. Obvious. Clear. Sorry? Blatant. Thank you. Here's a couple of definitions. They all match yours. When something's explicit, it's presented or stated clearly and in detail. That's important for our definition of pornography, remembering that it's not always visible images. But when it's visible images, it's certainly presented, but sometimes pornography is just stated. Presented or stated clearly and in detail. Or for Merriam-Webster, explicit means fully revealed or expressed without vagueness, leaving no question as to meaning or intent. And certainly when it comes to this topic of pornography, there are things that are revealed or there are things that are expressed in detail with no vagueness of intent. The intent couldn't be clearer. The intent is buy this, look at this, read this, click on this. Pornography is not just a matter of what one physically looks at. Again, that is largely true, but it's not exclusively true. It's been explicit, graphic, over the top, steamy romance novels or magazine articles that contain no pictures whatsoever that have been the source for some women of pornography. And these explicit scenes describe things not with pictures but with words that then lead on to just those images being conjured up in our imaginations and in our minds. If you listen to certain genres of music today, there are explicit lyrics, pornographic lyrics in the music. There are no pictures. And those lyrics, again, drive one to imagine and to think and to conjure up then those things in one's mind. But there's no actual pictures there involved. So we mean that by explicit, obvious things with an obvious intent. Go to the next word. Pornography is illicit sexual propaganda. That too is pointing down to propaganda. I'm going to ask you again, what do we mean by illicit? You helped me a second ago really well. Can you help me again? An illegal bent to it. It's not lawful. That's one of the definitions of illicit. It's not lawful. It's not prohibited. It's not allowed. So illicit means that which is not permitted, that which is unlawful. And here's a little spin I'll put on the word illicit. Especially when we're talking about pornography. We're talking about something that is morally out of bounds. Because it's illicit, it's out of bounds. Now, I've got the whiteboard over here because I want you to sort of think about illicit with a picture in mind. And it's always a bad thing when I try to do artwork. That's just never a good thing. So this is my depiction of, this is why I use Psalm 1 and why I use Psalm 23, because he'll be like a tree firmly planted by living waters, and the Lord's a good shepherd. He's going to lead me beside still, life-giving, refreshing waters. That's what the good shepherd's going to do for you and for me. And so this is just sort of a picture of a stream. And we're going to call this stream we're just going to call that stream human sexuality. That's something we can talk about in church because it's all over the place in Scripture. God has a lot to say about human sexuality. He invented it. He made it. It's one of those things that at creation he pronounced good. In fact, the first not good that we get in creation is that it's not good for this man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper that's suitable to him. And that makes all of creation very, very good. So when you think about human sexuality, think about the lovely, life-giving stream, the refreshing waters that flow within the banks of the stream. But if there's a flood, then the water goes outside of the banks. Here's where it's refreshing, it's life-giving. It's helpful, but now it's out of the banks of the stream. Now we say the water is out of the bounds of the stream. It's out of bounds. It's beyond the banks. Now it's dangerous. And so within the banks of human sexuality, and by the way, let's just say this, what are the banks of human sexuality? Marriage, right? So we're talking about marriage, and to use Scripture, we're talking about marriage between one woman and one man. That's the only definition of marriage that works in the universe. Nothing else is marriage. Within those banks, marriage between one man and one woman, then human sexuality is supposed to be a place of blessing. It's supposed to be a place of refreshment. But outside of the banks, that one's not working very well. Outside of the banks, anything else is illicit. Anything else is not prohibited. Anything else is out of bounds. That includes, of course, fornication. That includes, of course, adultery. And that includes, of course, pornography and the use of pornography. It is illicit sexual propaganda. It is out of bounds. It is not within that health-giving, life-giving stream that God will call a man and a woman to and bless them in it. Now, we could ask this question. When it comes to this idea of it being illicit, is this just a totally subjective question on my part? Or let me say, is this a totally subjective call? Could someone say, well, human sexuality outside of marriage in the form of pornography may be wrong for you, but I don't think it's wrong for me. You're just making a subjective call on that. Well, I want to say, it may be a subjective call to an unbeliever, or maybe a Christian walking in the flesh. But it's not a subjective call for believers who call Jesus Christ Lord and who call the Word of God their source of truth. Because if Jesus Christ is your Lord, He says to you, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away, take radical measures. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. It's not subjective for Jesus. If he's your Lord, as you call him Lord, he calls you and he calls me to take radical measures. Not literally tear our eyes out, but trust him by his grace and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts. And yes, to take radical measures. We'll look, Lord willing, at how not to fight pornography. And it's not, you don't fight pornography only by dealing with the externals. Those are important. You have to have the externals in place. But he's talking about adultery and fornication in the heart here and dealing with those heart issues as well. Immoral. When we talk about immoral, we're talking about that which is impure. We're talking about that which is morally wrong. We're talking about that which is evil, wicked, licentious, taking license or liberty with something in an area in which you ought not to take license or liberty, in which you ought not to give yourselves a license to do that or the liberty to do that. Because it's wicked, it's impure. And you know, I ask, is the question of what is moral or immoral just a subjective call? Again, could someone say, well, maybe pornography is immoral for you, wicked and evil for you, but it's not for me. I'm just going to say again, not for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who calls Jesus Christ Lord. That's not a subjective call. Let me encourage you, this will be a good use of your computer. Let me encourage you to do a word search in the New Testament only, New Testament, on the words immoral or immorality. Here's just a brief sample. There are more. Something like, I think I wrote 32 times. 32 times in the New Testament, you're going to find this word translated New Testament, immoral or immorality. So there's not a shortage of those words. Here's a sample. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Flee it. Paul writes to the Corinthians, I'm afraid that when I come again, that my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of impurity, immorality, and sensuality, which they have practiced. Every once in a while, when Miss Jane and I take a walk early in the mornings, I encounter and hit accidentally, not on purpose, one single strand of a spider web. Oop, didn't see that. This is not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about, oh, I accidentally ran into a website that I shouldn't be on. That can happen. He's talking about those who just fly on purpose right into that entrapping, entangling web, and who practice these things. Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Those same three words together again. Ephesians 5:3. But do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper amongst the saints. The things which they do in secret are shameful. Don't even let them be named amongst you, Paul's saying further in that passage. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body, your eyes, your ears, your hands, just like Romans 6. Consider those things as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Immorality equals idolatry. Therefore, looking at porn is most definitely a worship issue. But this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Every single time I just cited that word immorality in the New Testament, in the Greek, it's translated by this word, porneia, from which we get pornography. So no, it's not a subjective call. You know that pornography is both illicit, out of God's bounds, and you know that pornography is immoral, that it's impure, that it's wicked and evil. I know that you know that, because consider these typical scenarios. Typical scenarios which betray or that clearly indicate you know this is true. Typical scenario. Young, single guy, alone, in his bedroom, with the door closed, the lights out, maybe even under the covers. Your actions and your conscience betray you and tell you, you know this is out of bounds. Maybe young, single girl, same scenario, doing the same thing. And it would never occur to your heart. Obviously, it would never occur to your heart. Hey, mom, hey, dad, come look at this stuff I'm looking at on my phone. Of course not. Because you know it's out of bounds. Husband, alone, late at night, everyone else has gone to bed. Starts off, maybe he just hits the one strand of the spider web, and he should have torn it away and cast it aside, but instead he just flies right into that entangling and trapping web of lies. And it will never occur to him. He will never say, hey, honey, hey, kids, come over and look at this interesting stuff I'm looking at on the computer. Of course he's not going to do that. Because he knows what he's doing is out of bounds. And he knows it's immoral. Why is it more times than not that someone gets busted with pornography because they accidentally left their phone behind and they didn't mean to? How many times have I heard this in the counseling room? She found my phone. Or how many times is a scenario one gets busted because they accidentally ran away from the computer and left a page open that they didn't mean to leave open? Or someone gets a peek at your browsing history. You didn't mean for that to happen. Of course, you know, it's out of bounds and immoral. Look at those words. It's explicit, illicit, immoral, sexual propaganda. And again, here you may be thinking, Pastor Donnie, that's a little innocuous. You're going a little light when you're talking about it being sexual propaganda. Let's dig into that a little bit. Can you help me with a definition for propaganda? Pushing an agenda. I heard someone else about to say something. Promotion. Who said that? Okay, good. Pushing an agenda, promotion, promoting something. Here's one that I didn't come up with. I got out of the dictionary. Propaganda. Information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or to publicize a particular point of view. I'll read it again. Information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or publicize a particular point of view. Let me ask another question. Does that word propaganda, generally speaking, does that word carry, generally speaking, with you a positive connotation or a negative connotation when you hear the word propaganda? Just generally speaking. Negative. Yeah, I think we all agree. Generally speaking, that word propaganda carries with us a negative connotation. If you're on the right, you hear those on the news speaking about the propaganda of the left. Conversely, if you're on the left, you hear on the left those who speak about the propaganda of those who are on the right. Those on the left speak about the propaganda machine of the right. Those on the right speak about the propaganda machine of the left. This propaganda machine doing just exactly what you said, promoting, pushing its agenda on others. Propaganda, of course, is the stuff that advertisements are made of. I don't know if they're doing it anymore. Back in the 1970s or so, if you smoke this brand of cigarettes, you'll be a Marlboro man. You'll be a free, strong, handsome cowboy. You'll be a Marlboro man. Or if you wear this cologne or use this hair coloring, pretty women are going to flock to you. And it's all based on biased or misleading information to promote or publicize something. Propaganda says, I want to sell you something. Actually, I want to sell you a bill of goods. I want you to believe something. I want you to buy something. I want to convince you of something. I want you to believe that this is good for you, desirable, delightful, liberating, life-giving. And so often it's based on lies and deception and fantasy. Scripturally speaking in the Bible, can you think of the first instance in Scripture of false, deceptive propaganda? Yeah, serpent, Genesis 3, that was just false, deceptive. This is good for you. This will make you wise. This will taste good. This will make you like God. It was nothing but a web of false lies. Now let's apply that. We're saying pornography is sexual, and I like to use the word pornography is sexualized propaganda based on lies and deception and fantasy. It promises to be a source of delight. But as we said in Friday Features, in reality, it's a source of danger, destruction, and death. It promises to be a playground. In reality, it's a prison house. It promises to satisfy your thirst. In reality, it never does. Here's what Jeremiah the prophet said to God's people in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. They've turned away from me. The fountain of living waters. And they have hewed out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. This is why I started off with Psalm 1 and Psalm 23. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the path of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. But he delights in the law of the Lord day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by those living streams of water. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside. When it comes to human sexuality, he leads me beside cool, refreshing waters within the bounds of his will in that. And you can forsake him, and you can hew out other cisterns to hold water, but they're broken cisterns that will not hold water. They promise you satisfaction. They will not, cannot ever deliver. However, once again, when it comes to this issue of human sexuality, Scripture gives us a cistern to drink from. Grab your Bibles, please, and let's go to Proverbs 5. So we're going to close this morning with Proverbs chapter 5. Everybody who goes through premarital counseling gets Proverbs 5. Right, Cody? If movie raters were rating Proverbs 5 in the Word of God, they might have to rate Proverbs 5 with an R rating, restricted. And we're going to put an R rating on Proverbs 5 this morning. And it means right. Righteous. God's way. Look at it. Start in verse 1. There's the words of a father to his son. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. I think that's what I'm trying to say to us this morning is hear this. Listen to God's word. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your heart to my understanding. That you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. She's a forbidden woman. She's out of bounds. But her lips drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil, seems so desirable. But in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. It's a fantasy, it's a lie. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O son, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. And do not go near to the door of her house. Do not click on that website. That's going near to her house. That's going right into her trap. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near to the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your hearts to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength. These strangers that you don't even know, but you think they're just as interested in you as you are in them, and they're not. They're just complete strangers to you. It's part of the fantasy. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. And I'm at the brink of ruin. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. And then there's going to be a line right there between verse 14 and 15 that's comparing that woman that you should stay away from and take care of and that woman that you should delight in. Drink water from your own cistern, from the cistern that belongs to you, from the cistern that God has given to you. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for you alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. An amazing passage in Proverbs 5. There's so much we could say there. There's so much detail we could put out. I'm going to leave that there. But the very things that sexual propaganda of pornography promises to you, excitement, satisfaction, love, beauty, refreshment, you can have it all right here in this fantasy world. Now it'll destroy you. But it's all within the bounds of human sexuality. That's what I want you to know. It's not God is just saying, don't do this, but my will is good and acceptable and perfect for you in Christ. And so, we're not even going to, we'll come back to promotes and drives personal selfishness. We're going to come back to that next week, but I want to go down real fast to this slide to end with today. And say, well, what's the solution for pornography? That's not a mistype. That's not a typo, Julie. I meant that on purpose. What's the solution for pornography? It is the grace and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, pornus, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, there it is again, immoral and idolatry, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor dealers, revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You are being sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, whose fruit in your life and my life will be love and joy and peace and ultimately self-control. Self-control in these ways. So the solution for this soul problem, it's not just an eye problem. It's a soul problem. It's the grace and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to quit. We'll come back next week, God willing, to the fact that it's always 100% purely selfish. It always hurts and exploits others. It always dishonors, obviously, and disobeys God. And look for more gospel solutions. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that as our shepherd, you will always lead us beside streams of satisfying water. You will do that. And we need to know that, and we need to believe that, and we need to trust you for that. Thank you that the person who knows you, Lord Jesus, and who walks according to your word is going to be like a tree firmly planted by living waters. Thank you that you want to save us from broken cisterns. And thank you for the place in your will where you say, no, drink from this cistern. Delight from this cistern. It is good, and I've made it for you. And it's right. It's not prohibited. where I pray for grace to walk in grace. I pray for grace to walk in love, and I pray for grace to walk in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed. Amen.